Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. I'm going to talk about the progress, challenges, and lessons learned in improving quality of maternal and child health care in Mozambique. I have to disclose that I'm a GPAG employee, and as you know, GPAG is an affiliate of John Hopkins University. Here are the learning objectives that appear in the original version of the abstract. So at the end of this session, I expect that you might be able to describe the standards-based management recognition approach that was used in Mozambique to improve the quality of maternal and child health services, and also articulate at least two recommendations for current and future quality improvement initiatives. A bit of background on Mozambique. You see in the lower right corner the map of the country and a small inset to show you where Mozambique is in Africa. As you see by the numbers here, the health situation is really bleak, meaning that we have extremely high rates of maternal and neonatal mortality, respectively 408 per 100,000 live births and 48 per 1,000 live births. The major cause of death is still malaria for all ages, and the HIV prevalence rate is 16.2%, very, very high. This slide shows the relative distribution of the major causes of death, maternal death in Mozambique. You see that hemorrhage is responsible for a bit more than a quarter of all deaths, and the second cause will be rupture of the uterus, and the third cause will be eclampsia. Among the causes that contribute to hemorrhage after a birth are postpartum hemorrhage and antepartum hemorrhage. And the next slide shows the major cause of neonatal mortality in Mozambique. The numbers are in percentage. You see that 35% of all deaths are caused by prematurity. Of course, this means that there are other causes underlying this prematurity. And the second cause of neonatal death will be birth asphyxia, and the third will be newborn sepsis. In Mozambique, the efforts to increase access to healthcare have more or less stalled at 50%, meaning that the government is not able to move ahead of that figure in terms of coverage of the population for modern medical services, meaning that the investments of in health have therefore shift from improving access to improving quality, and this would complete the triad of access, coverage, and quality of care. If we improve the quality of maternal and child health care, we will be able to increase service utilization and ultimately save lives of women and children, and very important, ensure and affirm the rights of women and communities to quality and humanized health services. In 2006, the Minister of Health decided to invest more in quality of human services, and they adopted a plan to improve the quality and humanization of maternal and child health services. This was this plan was developed based on a methodology developed by GPAIGO, and this methodology is known as Standards-Based Management and Recognition, in short, SBMR. I'm not sure many of you are familiar with this approach, but basically it recognizes four steps for quality improvement. The first step is to set performance standards that have to be based on national norms and international references, and of course have to be rely on available evidence. The second step will be to implement the standards. The third one will be to measure progress in terms of implementation of standards. And the fourth will be the recognition of achievements towards the standards. This first quality improvement process was initiated in 18 health centers in 6 provinces, and the facilities were selected by the Minister of Health. And after training the staff at those 18 facilities, started applying the new quality improvement skills and progressively improved the quality of services, which is follow-up self-assessment. The 18 health facilities very quickly doubled their performance, in the first 6 months of implementation, and nearly tripled the quality of the services provided in 1 year of implementation. With this background, the Minister of Health decided to take a bolder step. And in 2009, they implemented a new national program called the Model Maternity Initiative. And for this initiative, 34 health facilities were selected. They were to obtain support in terms of quality improvement, humanization of care, and prevention and control of infections. Those 34 sites, the number might seem small, but actually those are the largest health facilities in the country, and they are responsible for 80% of all institutional births nationwide. The expectation was that besides improving the quality of services, they would be also responsible for spearheading the nationwide dissemination of the Modern Maternity Initiative, and also they would act as internship sites for pre-service clinical training, therefore improving the quality of the health workforce in the country. Each of the 34 facilities selected for this Modern Maternity Initiative established a quality improvement committee that was in charge of monitoring progress and compliance with the established standards, carried out internal assessments on a quarterly basis, and also tracked results-oriented indicators on a monthly basis. There were investments in four major areas: training, meaning that almost all of the MCH nurses were trained in use of this SBMR methodology. There were also policy and strategy documents developed, including, for instance, a national guideline for maternal and neonatal mortality audit committees, and also there were investments in enabling the facility-level committees to take action after problem-solving processes. Also, the information subsystem was a target of this investment, meaning that MMI, Modern Maternity Initiative data, is now part of the National Health Information System, which was quite an achievement. This slide shows a group of health professionals discussing data from the forms used to monitor MMI in Mozambique. Very dramatic improvements were seen after just 1 year of implementation of the Modern Maternity Initiative. 5 out of the 7 quality indicators had a 0% baseline. And as you see in this slide, 44% of the births after 1 year were carried out with complete pathograph. 65% of the births had active management of the third stage of the labor. 89% of the women with eclampsia and severe preeclampsia were treated with magnesium sulfate. 59% of newborns had skin-to-skin contact, and 57% of the newborns were breastfed within 1 hour of birth. So this was quite substantial if you was taking into account that it was 0% in most of the facilities, in all of the facilities indeed. This one is one of the facts that we found with this MMI initiative, meaning that we saw that there was an increase of number of births in the 34 facilities. This is represented by the blue line, and the black line shows the target that was established for the country. And this target is already 10% of what is the average population growth, meaning that in the 34 facilities, there was a substantial increase in the number of births. And we are still a bit timid in terms of saying that this is a direct effect of the implementation of the initiative, but we might get there as soon as we finish analyzing the data. The period covered here is October 2009 to August 2010, so this is more or less 1 year. The first trainings happened in August, so by September, most facilities had people trained to implement this SBMR methodology. This slide shows that problem solving was one of the skills that we tried to instill in the health teams. It relates to the case of one large hospital in capital city, Maputo, where they noticed that both mothers and newborns were suffering of pustular skin rash after admission. And very quickly, people started raising suspicion that this was related to the new practice of skin-to-skin contact, because that was not common before. But given that the facility quality committee had the skills, they very quickly identified the cause, and with two very simple measures, they managed to control the situation, meaning that they enabled mothers to take more baths after admission, and they did not allow newborns to be wrapped with a cloth from mother's dress. And this was simply simply effective to resolve, to control this outbreak of pustular skin rashes. This skin-to-skin contact, very simple measure, but extremely effective. Say, happy mother, warm babies. No? five successful approaches that I will sum up very quickly. Working together with pre-service institutes was very important to the success of this initiative, as well as the creation of a pool of trainers that also act as supervisors. Letting the provinces organize most aspects of cascade training instead of relying on the Minister of Health, but they were able to organize themselves and with support from the central level, carry out the training. And also, it was important to identify champions at central and provincial level, people who were committed to the initiative and were able to dedicate as much time as possible to this initiative. And also, it was very important to pay attention and to clarify all sorts of managerial and technical issues that were arising along the way as this initiative was implemented. This is a picture that shows a group of participants. Actually, this was, I believe, the first group of people trained in this initiative. Most of them are MCH nurses, but there are also pediatricians and obstetricians. So that was quite a success, given that we did not expect that the specialist world embrace this initiative, but actually they did. The challenges can be summarized as essentially five. One of them is that we found that it's not just simple to go to a facility and start implementing. It requires a rather broader approach, meaning that we had to develop preserve education materials for emergency MCH care, and we had also to develop an entire package of materials that could be used for curriculum review. So the effects were a bit further than what we expected in terms of influencing the teaching of nurses at the nurse training institutes. One other challenge was that it's still very difficult to have the maternal and neonatal mortality audit committees to work. They're still weak and they are not yet institutionalized. MNE tools are often incorrectly or incompletely filled out. This is a major problem. So we had to clear lots of data before we managed to see the effects of our effort. And the last two are typical in any low-income country. I mean, scarcity of human resources and also infrastructure that are not able to support service delivery. Four key recommendations. There is need to invest in recognition of accomplishments as a motivating factor. If you want to implement an initiative like this, we have to invest on motivation. And motivation means recognize whatever accomplishment the facilities have. It's important to create an evidence based for the quality improvement effort, showing that the data talks by itself to the health profession is very important. It's important also to identify best practices in quality improvement and reward the leadership behind them in the facilities, and to expand the new process with the step-by-step process. So not go and roll out in all country, but in just a small facilities, a small number of facilities. Three lessons learned are the involvement of heads of wards and the services is very important. It's important to ensure the retention of clinical skills by sustained training and supervision. And the last one is that we learned that you cannot take for granted that supervisors have the necessary supervision skills, so we have to retrain them in terms of how do you carry a supervision. So this is something that we learned from this process. These just references, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Dr. Makunge. At this time, we'll open the floor to questions for any of our panelists who I'll ask to join us up here. Any questions? Back here.
I have a question for Tyler. Looking at what some of the day-to-day challenges were with not having the government support.
I'll ask if you can come up since we're being recorded.
So the question was just about some of the challenges that come along with doing it sort of independent from government support. really the only sort of significant thing is the commodities for the rapid diagnostic tests and for the drugs that you use for MDA, which are a drug called DEC, diethylcarbamazine, and albendazole. Diethylcarbamazine is a little bit hard to get in Thailand, but the community-based health groups actually have a pretty long-standing relationship with one particular pharmaceutical supplier that sells that drug in Thailand. So that's one way to get around it, but it was still more expensive in terms of, you know, it'd be much cheaper to buy it in India or through an international mechanism. So that's really the whole of the commodity side. And then there's also the political side of, you know, groups that work in Eastern Burma are largely based in Thailand, and there are some political and legal challenges for them to keep their offices open in Thailand. So.